VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the game Euro 22. We will be talking about, of course we will, England's opening win against Austria. What did you make of the defence with Leah Williamson starting, but also the midfield with Ella Toon on the bench? We'll find out what Casey Stoney thinks about that. We'll also be discussing Ellen White's impact or not in terms of the forward line and how we can get more out of Lauren Hemp. We'll also look ahead to some of the big fixtures on the way. This is the game. Hello and welcome back to the game. I am Hugh Wizencroft alongside the England legend Casey Stoney, The Times' Molly Hudson and Gregor Robertson from The Times as well. We are underway in Euro 22. England kicking off in particular style, let's call it that, with a 1-0 win over Austria at Old Trafford, thanks to a Beth Mead goal that just about got over the goal line. And England just about got the job done as well. That's what you need, isn't it, in an opening game? Start off with a victory, start off with a positive result and build from there. And England, I think, will have to build from this point out if they're going to go all the way in Euro 22. Let's reflect on the game. Before we, in fact, get to the details of the game, Molly, you were there, you're inside Old Trafford. Tell us about the atmosphere, the huge record crowd for a European Championship match as well.
It was a fantastic atmosphere and I actually think that really helped England on because, as you touched on, it wasn't the greatest performance in the world. And I think that when you're maybe not playing at your best, that those tiny percentages and what the crowd can bring and what the occasion can bring can help. I think they didn't look particularly overawed. I think there was a worry that the occasion might, you know, get to them a bit. I don't think it was that. I just don't think they were very good at times. But I don't necessarily think that was because of the occasion. You know, it was a record crowd for the Women's Euros, which is fantastic. I think, you know, 75,000 tickets were sold and it was 68,000-ish in the end. I think 68,871. So there were a few pockets of empty seats, but the atmosphere was great. I think a lot of people were going to their first women's games. And I think in that sense, the most important thing was just that England won and got the job done.
I think, Gregor, this championship is about, I think, for women's football, capitalising on the attention that we spoke about last time around. You know, it's a great moment to be having this competition in England in particular, given the rise in popularity of women's football. And there were some people reacting after the game. Now, maybe it's because of the performance or I don't know why, kind of complaining that, you know, with this huge window, with all eyes watching on, that they didn't really take their moment. Is that just because they didn't win 5-0? Is the expectation now not just that they as a football team need to win games, but they also need to play like Brazil, entertain, score goals? I mean, why do you think some people left that match feeling like it was a little bit of a letdown?
It's partly about that, but it's about winning it. That's the most important thing. And if England win it, then it will have a transformational impact. So I understand what you're saying. I also think it's been a slightly negative slant on the performance. I thought, yes, it wasn't a statement performance. It wasn't like they put down a marker and everyone should be scared of, you know, all the other favourites should be scared of England after that performance. But it was pretty controlled. It was pretty dominant, really. There were patches, nervy start and some kind of edgy moments towards the end as well, just because of the scoreline and inability to finish the game. But England, by far the best team. And there's still, you're just left with the impression that there's a lot more to come from them as well, because some players don't quite live up to the billing. I would say Lauren Hemp, actually, first and foremost, although she was marked brilliantly by Arsenal's right back. There were also some great performances. It was just a bit the clinical finishing, though. That was what was lacking, really. So it's a start, a very positive start, I think.
Okay, let's come to the real expert then, Casey, who again joins us from out in San Diego. What did you make of England's opening game? Some said it was a little bit turgid. Can you put your finger on why?
Listen, it's never about how you start. The most important part is you win. And they won. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. So, yeah, there'll be things they can analyse. I think it's a very different atmosphere. Most of them wouldn't have played with 68,000 fans in there. They probably couldn't hear each other in terms of communication. I think there was maybe a slight lack of experience towards the back end when they needed to keep the ball a little bit more rather than make the game so open and transitional, which then allowed Austria to get a foothold in the game. But, you know, I think if they score if it's a better square ball to Lauren Hemp and she scores and makes it 2-0, I think it's probably a different game. I think there was probably, I did feel it was a bit cagey. I thought it was a little bit nervous performance, but they'll grow from this. And the most important thing is they are sitting top of the group after the first game.
In terms of, listen, we spoke about so many different aspects, didn't we, of the England team last time around. I think one of the key things you spoke about was England's defence, Casey. How do you think they played in the end? In terms of selection, it was answered by Brighton Williamson being matched up in central defence. Alex Greenwood didn't start the game. What was your reaction to that and how do you think they did?
I was surprised Alex Greenwood didn't start in some capacity because I think she's been outstanding all season for Man City, playing centre-back. And Rach Daly played full-back and obviously I work out in America and she doesn't play full-back for one single game out here. So that's a big test for her in a major tournament. I didn't personally like the fact that Millie was on the right and Leah was on the left. I personally would have swapped them round. I think Millie's used to playing on the left after years of partnerships with Steph Houghton. And Leah's ability to break lines, I think, was slightly taken away by playing on the left rather than right. And we maybe would have had a little bit more ball retention, especially later on in the game, had they been there. But I think they were tested to some degree. I thought they caused their own problems defensively by playing out from the back and allowing Austria to put pressure on. I think they're going to be up against a very, very different test when they play Norway next game.
I think Bright in particular played well in terms of the best performance for England on the night. I think she was up there. We've had this focus on Leah Williamson. How important can she be from here on out, Millie Bright?
I think the thing is as well, Millie's an experienced defender in there now next to Leah. She's played in the European Championship before. She's played in the World Cup. Now, Leah hasn't had as much of that exposure, albeit she is the England captain. So I think Millie's going to be really important. I think aerially, Millie's going to be huge against Norway, against that threat against Ade Hegerberg. I thought she defensively makes sensible decisions. She knows when to clear her lines, when to get the ball up the pitch, doesn't overplay in those areas. So I think that experience that she's going to need is going to come to fruition throughout the tournament, especially playing next to maybe a less experienced centre-back at this level.
What about the full-backs? We were speaking last night, weren't we, during the game, about the left-back area. We've already said Alex Greenwood didn't start the game. She maybe could have been included in the full-back area. As Casey points out, she's been brilliant in central defence as well. Rachel Daly started at left-back, and that is your natural position, Gregor. So you're the expert on this, and it's very rare I call you an expert on the podcast. What did you make of her performance?
Look, when you compare her to Lucy Bronze's sort of attacking output down the right, although some of her final balls weren't always up to scratch, she didn't get forward as much. But I personally thought she barely put a foot wrong. She was always on the front foot. There's a lot of times, particularly in the first half, where she would nip in and steal possession, and you know keep England on top. She gets the ball and plays it simple. I understand she's got an attacking side to her game that wasn't really fully exploited, but part of that too I think probably is about saying get the ball to Lauren Hemp and let her go at her. Like that's got to be a tactic for England, and you saw actually that the fact that they switched wingers throughout the game, I think that was a compliment to Austria's right back Weinreuter. So I think there's a certain dynamic at play there about Lauren Hemp being someone you give the ball to and you let her get on with it. And also you have to say that the opportunities in the first half, I think it was Ellen White's header when Frank Kirby drifted out to the left and they combined. It was a little overload down the left hand side there, so you know I think there'll be more opportunities for combinations down the left as the tournament progresses.
I'm not saying she had a bad performance. I think there felt a lack of balance though with her using her right foot so much. There were times where she either rushed the pass into Hemp as soon as she could and just sort of swept it down the line with her right foot, which obviously didn't then put her in the right position to overlap in the way that she would have wanted to in terms of timing. So I do think there is a question mark there. I don't think Rachel Daly played badly, But there is, I think, room for improvement, particularly if you want to get the best out of Hemp, because, look, she's great one-on-one, but if you can put two-on-one and give Hemp that option of a pass and then she goes for a dribble herself, that could be huge for England throughout the tournament. And so I do think Serena Wiegmann's going to have to think about it, Molly.
I think for me, watching the game, there was a bit of a worry that we did go to Hemp a little bit too early. I think quite a lot. And it's worked previously, the ball from Millie Bright to Hemp. And it does work, but just because something works doesn't mean you should do it every time. And I think if we do it too often, there was a couple of times Williamson did it as well, it's going to get easy to read, because we've all hyped Lauren Hemp up as this incredible player, which she is, but also that means opposition know what an incredible player Lauren Hemp is. And if you can mark Lauren Hemp out of the game, that shouldn't be a bad thing for England. We should be able to take advantage of that with the other incredibly talented attacking players that we have. And I think maybe that was why Rachel Daly wasn't able to get forward as much, because actually a lot of the time Lauren Hemp got the ball, it had come from so deep. It wasn't really where we'd built the game from the back and the fullbacks had had time to overlap or anything like that. It was quite transitional. So I think maybe that's... Because imagine if you have Daly and Hemp against the right back. Suddenly that makes Hemp's job easier, because she's not 1v1 all the time. You've got another option there. So I think yeah, we need to be careful that we don't get predictable with that ball out to Lauren.
Sometimes who the winger is dictates what the fullback does. And because it's Lauren Hemp, and you say, you go and beat her, almost you could sometimes, if you overlap, you take her space. So that might have been our instruction. It might have been, look, give her the ball and let her do her thing. And it didn't really work on the night, but I think it probably will in the remainder of the tournament.
Okay, let's talk about another player in that front line, Casey. Ellen White, I think so much expectation will be on her to carry the goal-scoring brunt for England. Of course it will. And we spoke about whether she was going to play every minute. I think Molly pointed that out last time around, that she'd be taken off, but she would be given an opportunity in the first game, and that is exactly how it played out. Just didn't really click for her, but in a way, she got on the end of enough for you to be encouraged that there could be more to come.
Yeah, I think what you know with Ellen White is once you can get the ball into the box, she's going to be dangerous aerially and on the floor. You know, her timing and the movement is good in the 18-yard area. She's, you know, decent with her back to goal. What she's not going to do necessarily is stretch teams in behind anymore, I don't think, in terms of if a team comes up and presses you high, yeah, you can play off her. Can you go in behind as much? Probably not. But, you know, she's not played a vast amount of football this season compared to other seasons. So I think there was a couple out there that were kind of playing themselves in. I would include Fran Kirby in that bracket too. But she's always dangerous. You know, she's in and around, and if she gets the right service, we know that Ellen can score goals. She's proven that at the highest level.
I think she needs a goal, I think. But then you say that for pretty much every striker for every nation at a major tournament, don't you? You want to see them get off the mark. I think for England, it's... You look back to that 2019 World Cup, and myself and another journalist were talking last night, and it's like everything... She didn't even have an incredible tournament, just everything she did went in the back of the net. And I think that's, if you're going to win a tournament, you need someone to have that kind of tournament, don't you? You need someone that's going to score those goals. And maybe it will be Beth Mead, because she's had a fantastic goal scoring season for Arsenal. But I think I'd feel a lot more comfortable once she scores, because if you are going to keep sticking with Ellen, then you're not going to expect whether it's Russo or Beth England to come off the bench. Say they get half an hour each game, they're not just going to automatically be able to come off the bench and score, you know, because they're not going to be able to play themselves into the tournament if you're going to start with Ellen all the time. So I think if you are going to stick with Ellen, which I think she might, especially against Norway, because they're a decent team, then we need her to score, really, I think, for confidence and for kind of... Not, again, because the longer Ellen White doesn't score, that burden on Lauren Hemp increases again. And Lauren Hemp, if you had to pick one area of her game that she could improve on, it is the end product, I think.
I think if we're being fair to Ellen White, she didn't really have a glorious chance. She had the header, I think it was from Hemp's cutback, which she got a good angle on, and it was just wide of the post. And you saw her work, you know, you saw her work really hard. And I would love to have someone like Ellen, you know, as a player, I would love to have someone like Ellen White in my team, because there was a moment in the first half where she closed down the right back, challenged, tackled her out of play, and she got up and she cheered it, you know, yeah, she was like... keeping that pressure on the opposition all times, that's really great as a defender.
Well, Serena Wiegmann kept screaming press from the side of the pitch, so she's following the instructions, she's doing it pretty well. But I would be, I say concerned, it's been one game, you know, put it all into context, but the amount that England crossed the ball as opposed to seeing a real pattern of play that is going to give her a clear-cut chance on the ground, which I think is, you know, even if you're good in the air, you prefer it to come to your good foot, don't you, if you're a footballer? That would be, you know, again, maybe splitting hairs here. The only concern to take away from the first game is I think we thrived off a mistake. Fran Kirby put a pass in for Lauren Hem that she had to take a touch, and we saw that brilliant save. But aside from that, you know, there weren't really those clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities created. Whether we missed those chances or not is another thing, but we didn't even create them. You know, that's my bugbear generally when it comes to the best teams. I think you have to show that. So, Casey, moving on from here, how do you think England can improve in that area where they can develop a style that's going to lead to those clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities? Or do you think we persist with crossing the ball into the box for Ellen?
I think the thing is, like, the chance for Ellen's header, she should score at that level. Ellen will be disappointed she hasn't put that away. You know, she's not really contested. It's a great pace on the pass. She's just glanced it too much. I think she should score that chance, and she'll be saying that to herself. I think if you look at Serena Wiegmann's Dutch teams, they did attack wide a lot. They had good wingers who could run at players. So they had Van der Sanden on the right in the 2017 who had pace, who could get the ball wide. They had Nika Martins, who's more of a ball carrier, could go 1v1. And obviously they had Miedemar Central. So that has been their tendency, is to get the ball wide and cross the ball and try and create chances that way. They do need another, I'd say they need another weapon, absolutely. You know, if you are going down the left and they start to overcompensate the opposition, how do we switch the play and get it out down the right so that we can get Beth Mead and Lucy Bonds in the game? How can we attack centrally through Fran Kirby and get her in pockets of space where she can turn and face forward and create chances? Because if other teams are really good at defending wide, we're going to struggle. We're going to have to come back central to be able to penetrate. And I do think we need to look at that. I think we can't be heavily reliant on our wide players. We need to make sure that we can move the ball in different ways to score different types of goals. And I was a bit disappointed probably the last 25 minutes of how much we turned the ball over, how direct we tried to go, when all we needed to do was maintain possession. And by doing that, I thought we gave the Austrians momentum in the game that we didn't need to give them. So I think that's something that I'd be looking at in terms of game management. And when the momentum's against us, how do we take a stranglehold back on the game and keep the ball for longer periods?
No, you can't stay with us much longer, Casey. But I do want to ask you, just from a coaching perspective, where you would, if you would, really change anything going into the next game?
I think it's very difficult because you're playing against a very good Norway and experienced team, and I know Serena likes to go for experience. I would definitely switch the centre backs over 100% in terms of playing left and right. I think Kira Walsh, you know, did her job really well. I potentially would like to see an Ella Toon in there who can create something centrally, and she's very good at picking up spaces, carrying the ball, and obviously I'm biased, I've worked with her for long periods. I would stick with the wingers. I think they're both very good. I think if we can, you know, maybe be less reliant on Lauren and maybe get the ball down the right a little bit more, because I think Lucy can overlap and underlap and cause 2v1s on that side. And I probably would go for Russo, because I think if Norway step higher, I think with the ability to get a Georgia Stanway or an Ella Toon in pockets playing through, I think you can expose their back line with a little bit of pace.
Okay, all right. There's plenty for us to dissect. Casey Stoney, thank you for being with us on the Game podcast. We'll see you very, very soon, but appreciate you've got bigger jobs and bigger fish to fry at the moment. Appreciate it. Not Prime Minister, by the way. Now that'll come, I'm sure.
No worries.
Take care, Casey. Thank you.
Thanks.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage,
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Molly, we just got a nugget there from Casey Stoney, didn't we, about the midfield. Ella Toon, of course, who she's managed previously, didn't start the game. There was an axis of Stanway and Walsh. Walsh, you sung her praises last time around. Stanway was in there as well. How did you feel about how they performed?
Do you know what? I was really impressed with Georgia Stanway. I gave her player of the match in my ratings that I did for the paper, and she also won UEFA's player of the match. Don't often agree with those, so that's a rare one.
Just UEFA generally, but also there.
But yeah. Also there, yeah, fair. So I was really impressed with her, and I think she is someone that in the last couple of games has really grasped her opportunity, and particularly because if you're going to play Leah Williamson in defence, you lose a defender, as we've said, you know, Alex Greenwood's unlucky, but you gain a midfielder. Because you need someone else in there to partner Ciara Walsh. So I think Stanway did fantastically, particularly because Austria very early on were quite physical. And I think, you know, what we know from watching Georgia Stanway in the Women's Super League, and obviously now she's signed with Bayern Munich, she does have that physical side to her game. She loves really going up against someone. And she was fantastic, I thought. She carried the ball, she won the ball. She's a total pest in that midfield area, and that's exactly what you need. And I think she is actually probably someone that surprised me, that I probably wouldn't have had in my best England starting 11, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and has really impressed in the last couple of games.
She has the physical ability to run. She's quick. She can change direction quickly. She's also technically really, really gifted as well. The fact that she likes to bounce off people, I think, is just her enjoying the game, to be perfectly honest, because we saw when she burst onto the scene when she was a little bit younger, her ability to carry the ball and dribble is right up there as well. I think she enjoyed herself. It was actually really good to see her, you know, being a little bit of a terrier and having a bit of a cheeky smile in midfield. If she grasped that role more, I think she could have a huge effect for England. But I do think she has that quality with the ball, which I think in a central midfield area makes a huge difference.
And I think, bless her, she's probably just enjoying playing in midfield, because for so much of her career, you know, as you say, she really burst onto the scene at Man City, had an eye for scoring a screamer, was fantastic. And then for one reason or another has been pushed basically everywhere that wasn't midfield because of injuries, and she's been really unlucky. And we've spoken to her a lot, you know, kind of fairly recently, and she's like, I would really love to get a run in one position and I can really show what I can do. And I think in midfield, she can do that. That's where she's best.
So what happens with Ella Toon? Is she going to continue on the bench after that first game?
Well, the one thing you got to say was a big positive was the impact of all three substitutes. And it's a, you know, clear planner. In the 65th minute, they all came on and they did make an impact and, you know, injected a bit of energy and dynamism into the play. So we're talking about naming the best team and standout players, but there's still, you know, there's players there chomping at the bit and ready to take their chance, I think, when they were given an opportunity. So, you know, Chloe Kelly is another one who came on, and she, you know, some long busting runs forward. She's quick and very direct. So, you know, the strength and depth in the squad has been spoken about beforehand, and I think we got a glimpse of that early on.
I think, listen, we're speaking now before Norway take on Northern Ireland. I think the pressure on the game may change if Norway are very healthy winners, let's call it that, against Northern Ireland. There is a big pressure around who might win the group. You know, that might be the conversation as we go into that second group game. At the moment, as we speak, we're not really feeling pressure. They've won the game. They've got the 3 points. That's the most important thing, to get the competition started in the right way. But as we go into that game against Norway, and if that result doesn't go right, and if there are the similar issues that we saw against Austria despite the result, I think the conversation is going to grow. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. So if anyone's complaining about the strength of our comments so far on the England team, whether you think we're nitpicking or not, all I'm saying is things could ramp up in the coming days. Okay? All right? Speaking of which, in the coming days, before we speak again, Germany will play Denmark, the Netherlands taking on Sweden, France, Italy as well over the weekend. Some of the key fixtures, I think, just picked out from a few of the ones that we're going to see, and I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining few days at Euro 22. Germany against Denmark, Gregor, what are you expecting to see? Who should we keep an eye out for?
Well, I think two of the teams that we've spoken about are should be among the favourites going head-to-head early doors. And you know, Germany won 7-0 in their solitary pre-tournament friendly against Switzerland. And you know, they lost a couple of big players in the months before the competition, and there was some worry about, you know, the goals, but they're clearly no problem in that regard. I think it's probably at the back that Germany are I've got some question marks, and even in goals as well, the long-standing goalkeeper has been dropped. So it's one of these early games that two of the favourites are going head to head, and you're getting an idea of they're both going to be tested, and it should be a good game.
What are you expecting?
I think Germany are probably favourites. I think Denmark have got a few good players, but I don't think they've got the strength and depth of a nation like Germany, and obviously the other team in that group is Spain as well. So I think Denmark are one of those teams that have. Maybe they're not in that really big group of favourites that we talked about. Maybe they're more of a dark horse. I think if they could really cause a shock in that group, if they can get a win, and then if it's suddenly that Germany-Spain game is absolutely ginormous. So I think Pernille Harder, obviously, for Denmark is the big player, the big one to watch. So I think she'll certainly give a test to that Germany defence and obviously the goalkeeper as well.
Netherlands versus Sweden. Everyone's looking forward to it. Is this going to be the first match of the competition that really is the fireworks and starts to set the tone for the rest of it?
I think so. I think that's probably the one that I'm the most looking forward to of this first sort of round of fixtures. I think it will be a big one to see whether the Netherlands have peaked at the right time, because obviously they were a bit undercooked when they played England in that warm-up game. So I think it will be a really good test to see whether Sweden can live up to the tag. You know, they're the highest ranked European nation. Can they live up to that? And will the Netherlands have enough? Because I think Vivian Miedema did an interview the other day, and she said, we know we've got quite a few young players and we maybe need a bit to go right for us if we're going to go on and win this tournament. And I think it'll be interesting to see how far off they actually are. So yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
And just on her, of course, we've seen her be so brilliant in the WSL. What role does she play? Because that was a big conversation from last season, her role for Arsenal, a little bit deeper, maybe a false nine or a number 10 role most of the time. Still a highly effective player, high quality player as well. How should we expect to see her play for her nation?
As Casey mentioned, under Serena Wiegmann, she was very much an out-and-out nine because of the way that Wiegmann loved to play with the crosses. And I think it will be the same. She won't be as deep as she does for Arsenal, but I think she always have that in her game because she played younger as a 10. And it's a bit like, I know we don't like making comparisons with men's players, but it is a bit like Harry Kane. Yes, he's playing as a 9, but he will always come deep and kind of make those runs as well. And I think she will still do that, but they will need her to be in the box. It's a bit like Ellen White, really. They need Viv to play well, to score the goals for them, I think, even more so than maybe in the past couple of tournaments.
And France versus Italy at the weekend as well. Two of the big footballing nations. Maybe France more favoured than Italy when it comes to this competition in particular. What are we expecting, and who are we expecting to see at the fore for the French?
Marie-Antoinette Catoto.
to put it simply.
Yes. Yeah, look, we've spoken already about France and how basically keeping the squad unified is going to be their biggest test. But, you know, there's some people also are seeing Italy as a dark horse. Their league's gone professional, and they've got some really talented players. Cristiana Girelli, Juventus striker. She's their standout player, I think. So, yeah, I mean, Italy could be dark horses.
Can they cause a shock?
I think they can, especially if France aren't quite unified. I think what we know is sometimes it's not quite enough to have a team of talent. You have to be a team, especially in a major tournament. And I think Italy are a fantastic team. As Gregor says, the league's improving. The national team has improved incredibly. I thought they were pretty impressive in the World Cup in 2019, and they've made a few big strides since then. So I think they can definitely cause a bit of an upset in that group.
Okay, listen, I'm looking forward to all of those games. I'm sure all of you are as well. Gregor Robertson, Molly Hudson, thank you for being with me. We'll be back with Casey Stoney as well on Tuesday next week. We will be back with you after England's game against Norway. Fingers crossed for those of us that are England fans that that is another 3 points in the bag. But again, loads of action for us. I think that's what we want. We want loads of action to be discussing. We will do that the next time we see you. But remember, if you want more of the great coverage of the Women's European Championship, you can get it on the Times app right now. So make sure you download that and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You won't miss an episode. Check it out, thetimes.co.uk/the game. We will see you on Tuesday.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.